This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Poor California. Once again, the voters are marginalized. People live in the Golden State. Some of you listening to me right now, every time there's a presidential election, it's already in the books. So Hillary Clinton is the nominee. She's clinched it. I mean, they're the presumptive nominees. She is on one side and Donald Trump on the other, without one California person even picking who they want. Nothing. So in California, they're complaining that they want to see the presidential primaries earlier. It's such a big, big state. When you think of the states that have a big sway, Iowa and New Hampshire and a few others on that list, California, do they get jobbed? Are they tired of being jobbed? That's for sure. Muhammad Ali, dead at the age of 74. People all over the place are remembering Muhammad Ali. How many of you have an Ali story? Kate Delaney, America Tonight. I've got one. I'm going to share it with you. When I was a kid, I was probably about 8 years old. My uncle knew I liked to stay up late. I can remember him letting me stay up late one night when everybody else was sleeping. He woke me up, got to sit on his couch and watch with my aunt and watch the ABC replay of a Muhammad Ali fight. And of course I didn't understand it. He was explaining to me all about the significance of Muhammad Ali, and I watched, I couldn't believe it. And then lo and behold, Ali for some reason was living in Cherry Hill. I was at a store with my mom and Ali saw me, and I was the only kid in the store, and it was kind of wasn't a lot of people in the store, and I know that the people were making a big fuss about him, and he came over to me and he shook my hand and patted me on the head and gave me that, you know, that pose that he made at the time, especially with his fists. And it was just an amazing moment, because to me, I had no idea who he was, except for that I knew he was the guy that I had seen on TV who was fighting. And I'm hearing from all kinds of people about moments when they saw Ali, pictures they took with Ali, that whole thing. And it's just amazing, the people that he touched, a three-time world champion. Thinking back on some of his huge, huge bouts, the Thriller in Manila, Rumble in the Jungle. The fact that for 3 years he was lost to boxing because he was a conscientious deserter, some would say, conscientious guy that just didn't want to be in the Vietnam War, so he abstained, shall we say, from doing it. And then he declared, you know, that he was no longer going to be Cassius Clay and that he would be Muhammad Ali. And his conscientious objector status pulled him out of the ring. But then all of that was flipped around by the Supreme Court 3 years later. But his impact, I think, is enormous. Somebody asked me the question today. Somebody asked me to join them on the show. And they asked me the question, this guy, you know, fought Parkinson's for over 3 decades, transcended the ring, was a humanitarian, and everybody's talking about him for 3 days straight and counting. He's above the fold, as they say. What other athlete could claim that they would have those kinds of accolades pouring out for them? And I'd say not too many at this point. But Muhammad Ali, absolutely. I mean, absolutely. Imagine if social media had been around when Muhammad Ali was fighting. He'd be even that much bigger. Let's go to Grim right here at the top. Hey, Grim, how are you?
Pretty good weekend. See y'all beginning to dry out. Thank the good Lord for that.
Yeah, no kidding, huh?
Yeah, really. You know, cool temperatures, too. You know, that way you work without breaking too much of a sweat. But, you know, there's going to be a lot to be done. But, hey, Kate, you know what BMW stands for, don't you?
What does it stand for?
Bring money with you.
Oh, I know a lot of places that could apply.
Yeah. But, you know, PhD, you know what that means, don't you?
What does it mean?
Paid how much you deserve.
I love it.
And, of course, double D would be, you know, how much you demand and deserve.
I love it.
You know, kind of going toward this thing about this young Stanford guy that, you know, everybody's raising Cain about that rape, that girl, and kind of towards Trump. But I was talking the other day to a family member on the phone, and this is going to become kind of a topic during the summer, is the number of infants that are being left in cars. And my family member stated, kind of wonder if they didn't do it because they just didn't want the child. So I had to sit around and think about that for a second before I responded, and I said, well, you know, they're probably in that group of 18 to 30, even some 40 immature 40-year-olds that are also a third of this country's population who don't see a future at all economically.
Yeah.
That now have to go before a judge who will make in one day on a golf course from his lobbying buddies more than they'll make as a hard-working class citizen in their entire life. Yeah, I mean, I can understand where Trump's coming from, and I'm kind of glad he calls this out, because if I had the time to research this judge, I bet you there's an ulterior motive behind this judge doing what he's doing.
Oh, man.
You know, I mean, I can't wait to see what he has to say about the senator of Nevada that was broke before he became a senator, that's a real estate agent that got money to go his way, and Trump couldn't get out there in Las Vegas and do a lot.
Yeah.
Not mentioning any names. Of course, everybody should know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, I can show you right around my state how they just come out. I'd like to go around and have a camera and do a before and after picture. You know what I'm saying? This is where they lived before they became politicians. Now look how they're living.
Yeah, I agree. Ridiculous.
Well, it's our money.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. The taxpayers always pay.
I used to threat everybody, well, I'm going to go down to Trent Lott's next Super Bowl, and I'm going to go in and make me a sandwich and sit down and watch Super Bowl. He don't own it. I paid for it.
Oh.
Why not?
Yeah. That's hilarious.
It is ridiculous, because he came to my high school before he was ever elected as a representative, my senior year, looking for my vote. And he has not lived up to a single promise yet.
Yeah, sadly. So disappointing. Exactly. And that's the frustration so many feel, Grim. It's the pinch of the taxpayer. Thanks for the call. And this is what we're seeing nationally. See it on a local level, see it on a state level, and see it on a national level. It's bubbling over. Talking about numbers next.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Hi, this is Ron Paul. I'm a former 22-year congressman and Republican presidential candidate. I'm here to tell you about something that just might save your lives. You never know when there will be another Katrina, an economic collapse, or a serious drought. We should all have a little food storage that will carry us through tough times. I'm going to tell you about a great way to do that. A U.S. company named Harvest Right has a kitchen appliance that can help you be prepared. It's a home freeze dryer. With the product, you can preserve the food your family loves. And the best part is the food will last 25 years and still taste great. I've tried it, and it's amazing. With a home freeze dryer from Harvest Right, you can literally freeze dry anything you eat. Even things like ice cream. To learn more, call Harvest Right today at 800-594-4635 or go to harvestright.com. That's 800-594-4635 or harvestright.com.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Get a ProPure with the Pro1G 2.0 cleanable reusable filter and remove up to 200 contaminants. Drink water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure products, including the new ProMax shower filter. There's a ProPure for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
Time for another edition of We Can Count. President Obama on Friday commuted the sentences of 42 inmates. He's accelerating his effort to free prisoners that he says are burdened with lengthy sentences in the government's war on drugs. This was something that he continued from last year. He's issued, in fact, 348 commutations during his time in office, more than the previous seven presidents combined, according to the White House. Among those freed include 130 who were serving life sentences. The president has said he will continue to grant commuting sentences during his final months in office to nonviolent offenders who meet standards laid out by the Justice Department. And he hopes that his clemency initiative will curtail sentences he views as unjust while highlighting the push for criminal justice reform in Congress. Wow. Interesting, isn't it? How about this? Hillary Clinton secured the delegates she needs. She be the nominee or the presumptive nominee. Yes, it is true. Anywhere you look, you'll see that headline that it's Clinton. Unless something happens with the emails that changes that scenario, it's highly unlikely, however. So she got the number of delegates she needed. I don't think it's a shocker. 2,383. And they say at this point, the key is to convince the public that she's the one, not Donald Trump. That's why she took aim at Donald Trump last week, where she had before, but she really went after him this time. So she's already begun her pivot to the general election with her campaign declaring her lead against Sanders, you know, as early as March, she was saying that. So that's what the focus is. You see it. She reached the number of delegates. So it's Hillary Clinton. And then you think about California, New Jersey, and it's not great news for those people who are in those states who were supposed to go out in those primaries and vote. What incentives would there be to vote in a primary when you're already saying these are the presumptive nominees? Well, who cares? Especially, okay, so Trump from weeks ago, it's tough to argue with that. But Hillary Clinton just having this happen, you really get ripped off if you live in one of those states, at least if we're going to do the primary system, if we're going to continue to do that. Different early in the game in Iowa and New Hampshire and so many other states. Not a good thing. However, if you're a Californian, and I bet it with the traffic and everything else, I would have to think that there would be people that would say, eh, I'm not going to go. Who cares? We already know. Why would I go? It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Megyn Kelly, who's had an interesting relationship with Donald Trump, said something that made people think, oh, that's true. Because they're talking about Trump University and forcing Trump University to recuse itself, you know, the judge, forcing the Trump's university judge to recuse himself would cause, they say, she's saying, chaos in the court systems. She took a shot at the federal judge, for those calling for the federal judge to step down from the lawsuit, an hour after Bill O'Reilly said he should recuse himself. She said, that's not the way the system works. If a litigant makes a stink about a judge necessarily resulted in it might have resulted in a conflict, that would force the judge to sit down. It would lead to chaos in our court system. She's right, because then you got to think about everybody else, and then would they do the same thing? And some people think there's even kind of a political component to the case anyway, because the law firm representing the plaintiffs has paid Bill and Hillary Clinton for speeches a lot of money. This Trump University case, by the way, was filed in April of 2010, if you have no idea what I'm talking about, before Trump decided that he was going to run for president. So that's not a surprise. And the judge has been on the case for 3 years. He's issued several rulings in favor of Trump, but some big rulings against him as well. A Trump spokesperson says this case should be dismissed because the lead litigant in the class action suit has dropped out of the case. It's not going to go anywhere, that's for sure. It's going to stay, is what's going to happen, and it's going to play out. And does it play out and play into the hands of Hillary Clinton? Well, who knows? It's just like her in the email. And we don't know what's going to happen with the email. We don't know how far they're going to take this. And I think if it's up to Loretta Lynch, boy, a lot's on the line. A lot's on the line. If you're going to go after her and you're going to indict her, you're going to have something ironclad, that's for sure. Or it's not going to matter. Wondering if anybody listening to my voice, anyone, please, anyone in California, in Nevada, in another state, Utah, who bought the Playboy Mansion? I saw this in the Wall Street Journal. Playboy Mansion was sold. 1927 is how old the house was. Movie stars, athletes, who else frolicked in that house? It just seemed like everybody who was anyone was there. It was listed for $200 million by the broker. $200 million. Do you have a spare $200 million where you can buy this property up? I guess it's kind of iconic property in the sense. It was purchased by Playboy Enterprises in 1971. Oh, check this out. You want to talk about a return on your investment. For $1.5 million. It's been the house of Hugh Hefner's forever. But now he's 90 years old. There is a condition if you get buy the house. You have to let him remain there as long as he lives. So until he dies, you wouldn't be able to do that. Now, they're saying that it's a 20,000 square foot mansion. It's 29 rooms, 12 bedrooms, 5 acres. And it's one of the few private residences in L.A. with a zoo license. Oh, here we go again. He added a heated swimming pool and a grotto in the 70s. And, of course, that's where so many of those iconic photos were taken, in that grotto, in that area. I mean, in the house, too, but really in there. I mean, obviously it would need some renovations, I would assume. But it's famous for those glitzy parties. It, 1 year, the 1980 New Year's Eve party, Sonny Bono was there. Patty Hearst was there. Because people forget the whole kidnapping thing put her on the map. But also she was a socialite, too, before that. Boy, $200 million is a lot of bones for that house. And, you know, here's the thing. You've got to be able to come up with the goods, which I'm sure if you have that kind of money, to renovate it. So check it out. Who bought it is this guy, Metropolis. He's 32 years old. He's the former co-chief executive of Pabst Brewing Company. Rough. His firm, along with the Apollo Global Management Company, purchased Hostess Brands, the maker of Twinkies, promising to revitalize it. So he's got a few coins in his pocket, let's put it that way. And now he's got the mansion, but he's going to have to wait a while before he can actually move in it. It is gorgeous in the front, but $200 million, bought for just over $1 million, and it sells for $200 million, that's a great investment in property that he won't even, what's he going to do with that at his age and where he is in life? I would just assume children, right? Pass them on to children, and he's got a whole bunch of them. So I would suppose, after he spent whatever he ends up spending for however long he's alive, then that is split up. But who knows? We've seen so much about wills lately, right? Coming up, a couple of great interviews for you on a couple of topics that we have been tossing around here now on the show for a while. You don't want to miss it. That's next. On the flip side, thanks to Patrick Egdor for his help on this show. On the flip side, I will meet you, and we'll take it to the top. Stay with us.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shot the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent, and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy, for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Today, how to incorporate your business in just 10 minutes so you won't lose everything if you get sued. Step 1. Stop putting it off. If you're not incorporated and someone sues your business tomorrow, it's not just your business at risk. You can lose everything. Your home, your car, even your life savings. Step 2. Call the following number for a free 10-minute incorporation guide from Incorporate.com. 1-800-941-5257. They don't provide legal or financial advice. They just make incorporating quick and easy. So you can incorporate or form an LLC in just 10 minutes. That number again is 1-800-941-5257. Step 3, congratulate yourself. By taking just 10 minutes to incorporate your business or form an LLC, you protected your home, your car, and your life savings. And that is how you incorporate your business in just 10 minutes. But hurry while they're still giving away these 10-minute incorporation guides for free. Call 1-800-941-5257. That's 1-800-941-5257.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. As you're listening across America, you remember back in 2012, we talked about this so much, General Petraeus, who was a four-star general and, of course, the director of the CIA, resigning amid a sex scandal. And there were so many details that were left out. There were so many, there's so much that really didn't stick against the wall, and it was insane. One of the central figures in the middle of all of that was Jill Kelly. And Jill Kelly's got a new book out called Collateral Damage. And she's really opened up, finally, she's really talking about her role in this scandal that ended her friend David Petraeus' public career. Jill, thanks so much for stopping by and hanging with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
So let's go back to what happened and Paula Broadwell. And all of a sudden, outside of your home, it was like every single tabloid possible station, local stations, etc., were all over the place trying to get a piece of you and your family. And what was that like for you while all of this was exploding?
You know, it was really traumatizing in a sense of all of a sudden, besides my name being illegally leaked, because all I did was call for help when General Allen said, you need to report this to the FBI. But then we learned, and it's in the book, how we learned that three of the country's most powerful entities came together and people wanted answers. What happened? Why did General Petraeus resign? Who knew? How long was this investigation? Did the White House know? And these three government agencies came together and said the only way to basically get rid of a Karen scandal is to begin a new one. And with that, they created these shameless, as you know, remember, headlines of me and Sir General Allen out there a completely fabricated sex scandal, which we learned later from the Inspector General that came back and said nothing inappropriate and it didn't happen. But, you know, the fireworks show that they did, it worked. And, but, you know, as you said, people, nothing stuck because there was so much that was reported that wasn't true. And what was true was never said. And that's why I said, we have to write this. I have to write this book. The American people need to be told the truth. These generals need to be vindicated. My family, you know, they only have the right to know. I mean, I know we'll never be able to repair the reputation after they smeared it, these smear merchants that did this. But as long as they're still continuing to collect the emails of millions of innocent Americans, what happened to my family can happen to yours. And that's why I said it needs to stop. It's wrong what they did to them. It's wrong that they retired and resigned in shame. And people continue to live in humiliation. It needs to stop. And the same government that's collecting these emails are the same ones that did this to us and their families.
Yeah, and what did that feel like when here you've now said, talked about how strong your marriage is to your husband, Scott, but people had to be looking at you, cross-eyed, that thinking that you were having either an affair with General Allen and General Petraeus or both of them.
Right, because if a government official says it, it's got to be true. Just like when the government, the FBI said, we'll protect your identity, we'll make sure General Petraeus and General Allen and General Mattis and all the generals that were being targeted by the stalker will protect them and not allow this to happen, because the email threat was, we will shame top generals and U.S. officials and their spouses in headline news. So exactly what she threatened to do is exactly what happened. But what is even more eerie is the fact that they allowed, I'm sorry, I'm in New York, so it's loud here. The FBI allowed the director of the CIA, they compromised for 6 months. He didn't even know, the first few months, he didn't even know who his stalker was. He was getting security around him. I'm just like, this car cannot stop beeping.
That's okay. It's New York.
I'm trying to get away from it, and it keeps getting louder. they allowed him, instead of giving him protection and saying, hey, you know what, we're going to stop this stalker, because we all thought it was a terrorist group. Instead, they allowed him to stay compromised. They allowed my family to stay terrorized. They allowed General Allen to be, you know, feel in great danger. They allowed all this to happen until the election passed, knowing who the stalker was and not telling us.
Yeah, and the stalker was Paula Broadwell. What was it when you found out? How did you find out, and what was that moment like for you?
Well, I remember, I never even knew Petraeus had an affair. Obviously,
right.
If me or General Allen or General Petraeus knew it was Paula Broadwell, none of us would have went forward. I never heard of her in my life, never met the girl, never spoke to her until now. I mean, I still haven't. And so when he was seeking out for help, he didn't know who it was. When General Allen told me to go get help, we didn't know who it was. We never even knew, again, that there was an ex-mistress. So it was quite shocking. He was just as shocked, obviously, because he went out and got help himself as a CIA director, because the information she was sending in emails were of, you know, top secret that no one should know about. These generals' whereabouts, will they be, where they're coming to go, and where, including mine, because at the time I was the honorary ambassador for the coalition. So I was meeting with heads of state, you know, on a weekly basis. So for this kind of information, for our security to stay compromised, it's just a disgrace. And instead, they went through our personal emails just as people were having an affair. And even though they said that they realized it was no affair, they still threw it out there and accuse us of it, because once you're in the headlines, you're guilty until proven innocent. So it was really an atrocious way of, you know, it really puts a bad taste in your mouth. And that's why I said no female or men, they should never have to worry about going to the FBI and instead they dig in your email to see if you're having an affair, basically seeing if you are, if you're asking for it. And that's what was so upsetting on what I learned later on what really happened and what they knew, how long they knew, and what they did or what they didn't do.
Yeah, crazy. We're speaking with Jill Kelly. The book is called Collateral Damage. She was caught up, as she's talking about, in the middle of the David Petraeus scandal. What was that conversation like? Because you were close to David Petraeus, who was then the director of the CIA. What was that conversation like that you finally had with him when all of this unfolded?
you know, he was beside himself. And then he had to tell me who Paula Broadway is. He never told me it was an affair that he had. He never told me she was a mistress. He just told me that she was a biographer that was obsessed with him. And, I mean, clearly it speaks for itself. But, you know, I learned when the whole country found out that he had an affair, because that's when he told the whole country. But it came to a point where, I mean, in his defense, what was he going to do? Tell the FBI? They already knew. They were sitting on their hands until the election passed. And it says it in the book, the FBI agent who told me, we have to wait till, they're not doing anything because they said the election. And in July, actually, it's in the book, in July, he calls me and tells me that General Petraeus and General Allen are coming down after the election. Now, remember, I have no idea who my stalker is. I'm still thinking it's a terrorist group. No idea. It's a female. I have no idea it's General Petraeus had an affair. So for him to say what these top officials in D.C. were contemplating since July, 5 months before the election, and everything he said happened.
Wow. And how tough was this on Scott? Your husband is a Tampa cancer surgeon. He right. gets, and you talk about this, he gets a message from someone calling him or herself, which is what you're talking about, a Tampa angel. And it says, basically, see if you can rein your wife in before we publicly share the pictures of her with her hand sliding between the legs of a senior serving official while at a D.C. restaurant. That had to be just awful.
Right, and you know what, this is what the whole, thank God, it's the only time in my life I said thank God of this. My husband and I share an email account. It's, we met each other at University of Pennsylvania because I was studying to be a doctor and I was doing my research out of there. And, we started our email, and that's when email practically just came out. We opened an account together and we've been using the same account since. Now he does have his own private account for his patients, but, this is an account that I use. I didn't have my own private account that I was using. So every email that ever came to me, he saw, and that was, thank God, you know, obviously believe me and believed in me because he knew was ludicrous. But what was most important, and this is why I put that picture in the book, the picture that she's referring to, the picture that made her start stalking us, it's a picture at Easter dinner in D.C., the one that she's referring to in that email, and you got to, let me take the picture here for you. It's a wooden table, no table linings, you know, no tablecloth. General Petraeus to my left, Holly Petraeus, my best friend to my right, my husband across David, my sister there, his son from Afghanistan. It's a family Easter dinner. And I don't understand, first of all, it physically couldn't happen. I mean, you realize how this table is set up. It physically couldn't happen. And number two, if it really happened, why would I go to the FBI for help? I mean, like, why would I go to FBI and about something I did with a married man. It just, and that's what was so shocking. We had no idea what this meant in the email. And when we, you know, when I obviously met with the original guy, the FBI agent that they claimed the shirtless agent, another one they threw in there to destroy his credibility, accusing us of also having an affair. He said, Jill, you know, think nothing of it. But, you know, he was more concerned because General Allen was concerned that somebody would even know the director of the CIA is coming and going. Well, we obviously learned later that she was reading his emails the whole time. Even though they had broken up, she had access to his emails, so she was stalking his coming and going. And that's how she was able to talk about each restaurant that he'll be at or I'll be at or the other generals will be at and what time they'll be there, which restaurant. You know, very alarming emails with information that no one should have. Well, the FBI this whole time knew this. They knew
right.
who she was. They knew that she had access to his emails. And obviously he didn't know this. And they never stopped it. And so he basically threw himself on the sword hours after election,
right.
after election, and just resigned.
Yep, because what was he going to do? Collateral damage. Jill Kelly, thank you so much. We appreciate it. Good luck on the book. Thanks.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
Pat Matthews back again to talk about BuySellMakeOffer.com. And this time, it's all about selling your stuff online. Here's my son Frank.
I just listed two video games I no longer play, Battlefield Bad Company and Gears of War, and I expect to get $10 each for them real soon.
And was it hard?
Nope. I just set up my free account that's good for 30 days and put them out there for everyone to see.
BuySellMakeOffer.com makes it so easy to sign up and list those things around the house that you no longer need, but somebody else always does. Start your free 30-day trial right now. And remember, there is never a listing fee with BuySellMakeOffer.com. Sell your video games, old vinyl records, furniture, cars, yes, even your home, and so much more. You can even use video and Skype to buy and sell. Join the revolution. Go to BuySellMakeOffer.com right now. What are you waiting for?
This is an alert. If your business or church is building this year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. A General Steel building can save you as much as half the cost and time of similar conventional construction. And we're offering rebates of up to $20,000 to help you build today. Call General Steel for free information that could save you thousands. Call 866-91-STEEL.
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 Welcome to another edition of It's Your Business. In our virtual green room right now, Christy Garten, founder and CEO of the 1000 Dreams Fund. I love the sound of that because I'm all about dreams, as many of you know. So she's got me hooked already. I can't wait to find out more about what she's doing to make those dreams come true. Hey, Christy, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me. I love being in the virtual green room. That's fun.
It is fun, isn't it? We put pads out all over the place. When you had ideas, you could write them down. So, let's talk about how you created the fund and what's the ultimate goal of 1000 Dreams.
Great questions. 1000 Dreams Fund, we launched it last year, and it really grew out of a series of books I've been publishing over the last few years for girls getting ready for college. It's called You Chic, short for University Chic, and it's a collection of advice from girls across the country about this important life stage, and they're giving each other advice on it. So working with girls over the years, it has been so clear that funding is one of their biggest issues, and really it's a result of the cost of college today. College is just super expensive, and it's not just tuition. It's the extracurricular opportunities that you have access to while you're in school, like study abroad or a conference or seminar you want to attend, but you may not have the funds to do it. So that's what really inspired the launch of the 1000 Dreams Fund last year, and we launched it with proceeds from those book sales, and then we did a Kickstarter campaign, and we've already provided over $30,000 to girls across the country.
Wow.
And it's all in the form of micro grants towards those extracurricular experiences. So they can apply for funding for those needs, And, you know, as we grow this fund, as we're focused on doing this year, we want to reach 1,000 girls and then set our next goal. So that's really the inspiration for the name as well.
So you, when you talk about extracurricular, tell us some of the things that the girls have been able to do that applied for those micro grants.
Yeah, so it's so awesome because, you know, it's really about this idea of dreams. And, you know, when you're 18, 19, even 16, you know, you have this probably big dream for yourself, but you don't know necessarily how you're going to get there. So, you know, we're really, you know, broad in terms of what we're funding. We're not just, you know, one thing, humanities or STEM or something else. It's really every young woman who has a big dream for herself and has an extracurricular need to do that, we can potentially be a funding source for her. So, for instance, one of the girls that got funding last year, she wants to be a photojournalist, and she needs a camera for a classroom that, you know, they go out and they take photos. And anyway, she didn't have that camera to do that. And so she was able to use her $1,000 from us to purchase that camera. But we also fund study abroad. They can put it towards that. I don't know if you're familiar with Alternative Spring Break, but that's where students go and volunteer instead of go party. They probably have a little fun too. But those that costs money as well. So we've had students use their funding for that. One of our girls actually our ambassador. She's this amazing woman named Gracie Stram. She's 17. She's a singer-songwriter based in Kansas, and she, you know, she's in high school, but she's trying to pursue this dream of being in the music industry, being known, and going to Los Angeles for her was an important opportunity for her last year to meet some radio executives, I guess, to pitch her first album. So she was actually able to use her $1,000 to help fund the cost of that trip. So it's a variety of opportunities. We share all of the stories of the girls we're funding at our website at 1000dreamsfund.org. And folks can also find information, girls can find information on how to apply for a grant as well through the website. So, yeah, we're funding a lot of really exciting things.
Yeah, and you have something that's pretty cool that we've seen now pop up on Twitter, the hashtag RealSuperHeroes. Tell us about that.
Great question. So in addition to our scholarship fund, which girls can apply to twice a year, fall and spring semesters, we do these online social media challenges is what we call them. Basically, every quarter we have a new challenge we launch, and it's another way to get funding from us, and we're using social media to do it. So Real Superheroes is our latest challenge. We launched it around the graduation season, asking girls to simply share who their real superhero professionally is, and all they have to do is tweet us, use the hashtag Real Superheroes, and each week over the next few weeks, it was a 5-week campaign, it ends on June 17th, each week one girl will get a $200 grant towards her dream, whatever that is, based on her submissions. So last week, Michelle Obama was the real superhero that a girl selected. This week, we just announced Demi Lovato was this week's real superhero. So anyone can enter. That's, you know, obviously one, you know, a girl who's in school and has an extracurricular niche she needs funding for. She's going for her dreams. This opportunity is a perfect, easy way to potentially do it, and it's a fun way to do it. I mean, we all have our real superheroes that professionally inspire us, especially when you're, you know, again, 16, 17, 18. I mean, it's these individuals who drive us potentially towards our dreams. So that's what this campaign's all about.
Yeah, one of the things that you do is that you talked about, you know, your best-selling college guidebook, You Chic, College Girls, Real Advice for Your First Year and Beyond, etc. So you obviously have tapped into the youth market, we'll call it, and you know how to reach millennials. This is a big question, Christy. And we're speaking with Christy Garten, founder and CEO of the 1000 Dreams Fund. How do you reach millennials? What do millennials want that's so different about perhaps the generations in front of them?
Great question. I think, you know, I'm actually a millennial myself. I think from my experience and then working with girls over the years, you know, we're really about getting our hands on, you know, opportunities while we're in during this life stage. I think that's the biggest thing and biggest tip I actually give to other brands looking to connect with this generation and even younger. Generation Z is who we're now talking about, who's in college. And it's amazing, but, you know, they want to participate with the brands that they're, you know, shopping or consuming or supporting, you know, for a brand to come to them and, you know, have an ambassador program, give them an opportunity to participate in some way, give them that real-world work experience that they so need Some of these things that we're funding, it's also experiences that really help students reach their dreams. So, you know, companies that can invite millennials in the door in some way, whether it's through a well-developed internship program or an ambassador program or even some, you know, social media campaign that reaches out directly to their biggest young fans and engages them in some way, really excites them. But you also have to remember, you know, it's you have to publicly, you know, recognize them too. I mean, they, you know, millennials are not only interested in those experiences, they also, you know, they also want to, you know, one of the factors that we've found in research is they want to look good among friends, or, you know, they want to be, you know, some of this is a standout. It's interesting. But, you know, if you can find out some way to also recognize them for their participation, it doesn't have to be, you know, financial support by any means. It could just simply be a tweet like, hey, you know, so-and-so, thanks for your advice. That kind of engagement excites them as well. So, you know, companies and brands that are doing that do really well with this generation.
Yeah, well, that makes complete sense. And I also get the sense that there's no way, unlike what it used to be, that, hey, you stick it out, you gut it out, pull up your bootstraps. I think what's so refreshing is the idea that, no, I can do it. If this doesn't work out, or I have a nasty boss or a nasty situation, yeah, I got to feed my economic engine, but I'll find another way. Is that kind of true?
I think so. I mean, I think it's also a result of the economy. You know, 2008 had a huge impact on this generation. There's a significant difference between those who were, you know, graduated college before that date and those who graduated after. You know, finding jobs, finding good-paying jobs out of school has been very challenging. So students have had to be pretty savvy in how they're, you know, paying for their rent. I mean, I don't know if you've seen latest statistics, but a lot of young people are moving home to live with their parents to kind of help launch their careers. I mean, that's just the situation. And as a result, you know, students have had to be, or young professionals in their 20s have had to be really innovative about how they're living their lives. And I think that's what's driving kind of what you're pointing to, this idea of, you know, entrepreneurs. We all have a personal brand we need to work to build and promote. And that, you know, can potentially turn into, hopefully, you know, a better source of income for ourselves as we continue to age and, you know, become adults. So I think, you know, that's a big driver, is really just the state of the economy.
Okay, so people all over the country have been listening to us, and I hope their appetite is wet for more of this. How can they find out some more about the 1000 Dreams Fund?
Well, I think there's, you know, an opportunity for everyone to be involved. It's a fund. People can donate to the fund. There's information on our website about that at 1000dreamsfund.org. And then obviously for any young woman or any parent that has a student in school right now who could benefit in some way from this, tell them about us, 1000dreamsfund.org. We're definitely on social media at that handle on Twitter and on Facebook and Instagram. And, you know, get engaged. We are a community of young women supporting each other through advice, but also funding. And anyone can, you know, have a role in that. And it's, I think, important for us all to support the next generation of female leaders.
I love it. Perfect place to end this. Christy, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
I hear birds chirping up in the sky. I like to be free, like that spread my wings.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Ted Anderson telling you about Jordan Rubin's Beyond Organic Green-Fed Raw Cheddar Artesian Cheese featuring whole milk created through ancient dairy breeding. Unpasteurized, untreated whole milk on the same farm the cows graze. Containing natural sources of omega-3s, CLA protein, calcium, probiotics, and enzymes. I have never tasted cheese this good, and you need to try it. Contact your longevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.